Good morning. I'm Aaron Winawiski. I'm the pastor here. And I get together with other pastors from the area a couple times a month. It's part of Revive Wisconsin, an effort where area churches are working together to go out in the community, start spiritual conversations. Pastors from those churches, I'm able to make it every Wednesday. We come together and we pray for the churches, pray for the community. And in one of those recent noon prayer times, I let people know that our office had sold, and somebody around the table, one of the pastors, said, "Well, why don't you seem more excited about it, Aaron?" And the pastor sitting next to me said, "Because he's terrified." And there is an element of that. And I want to talk about God's vision, God's plan, and I have to remind myself that we are moving forward in faith, not in fear, that there is nothing to be afraid of when God is our strength, when He is our fortress. So we're going to talk about vision as we kick off the fall. Vision can seem like an abstract thing. If you think, though, about architecture and think about blueprints that are laid out, an architect, somebody who's familiar with how to read those blueprints, they're not just reading the blueprints, they're getting a picture in their mind of what those blueprints look like, what they would do in three dimensions when something is actually being built. They get a picture. They can see it. That's vision. Seeing what is ahead, even when it isn't obvious or clear. Taking a look at a plan and getting an idea what it's going to look like as you move forward and accomplish the plan. God has a plan, a vision for you, each of you individually. And He has a plan for us together. He has a plan for His church. He has a plan for how this church, New Day, is uniquely designed to be a light for Christ locally, nearby, and around the world in ways that other churches are not equipped. He has a specific plan for us, and that's not that it's a better plan than for other churches. It's a unique plan. We need to look for, what do you have for us, God? What is your plan here? Paul, the apostle, put it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He said, "For we are His workmanship." This word workmanship comes from a Greek word poema, which of course is where we get the word poem. We are His poetry. And we've been in the book of Psalms, and we see that the Psalms, they are poems, and they are the expression of the psalmist's heart. We are God's workmanship. We are the expression of His heart. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Couple things I want to point out here. Notice that Paul says we are His workmanship. He's writing this to disciples, to gathered disciples, to a church in Ephesus. He's saying together, we are God's workmanship. He has a plan for us. God prepared beforehand good works, like a blueprint or a map that we're to follow, that we're to walk in. So I admit to you, I don't know exactly what God's plan is for, next month even. I know that for some of you that makes you nervous. Like, what? You're supposed to be leading this thing. We do have things in place, and I'll get to that in a moment. Together, though, as a church, we agreed that God's plan was not for us to stay in our current office, our current piece of property on Willow Street over by Target. We said that's not a long-term home for us. So last year, members voted and said, let's list it. And now it has, now it's sold. And we're better prepared to buy or build something with a more intentional gathering space indoors and more land, enough for future expansion. So I don't know everything that God has planned, but this much I know. We want to prayerfully seek out God's vision, His plan. And I want to take a moment to, before we look forward, look back. How have we been doing at following His plan lately? Well, we're almost halfway through what we imagine to be a 5-year emphasis on giving through the Spirit, with our key strategy being service initiatives. At our 10-year anniversary service 2 years ago, I said we have always had three things in place. We've had a Sunday morning worship service, we've had small groups, and we've had service initiatives. And in the first 5 years of the life of the church, our emphasis really was on getting the Sunday morning service up and running. Now, the other two things were still, they were happening. Our emphasis, though, was on the Sunday morning service. The Sunday morning service is often the wide open door for a church, for people to walk in and hear maybe for the first time, to understand maybe for the first time that God loves them and that they're not alone. And that even though every one of us has been separated from God by sin, like a branch cut off from a tree, He has given His Son. He loves us so much that His Son died on a cross so that our sins could be forgiven. He picks us up off the ground and He grafts us into His family tree. We are nourished and nurtured by God through Jesus Christ. This often is the setting where people hear and understand that for the first time, that you're grafted by God into His family. That was the first 5 years. It was really our emphasis. And then the next 5 years, we still had the Sunday morning service. Our emphasis shifted, though, to how are we helping people grow in Christ? And we said the most effective way for us to help people grow in Christ is to take what's happening on Sunday morning, and instead of building a separate silo, let's connect what's happening on Sunday morning to what's happening during the week. So we started to really emphasize our sermon-based small groups, where people get together in homes, in a living room, they get to know each other, they build relationships, they gather, God's people gathering around God's Word, where everybody who comes in here or who listens online hears a message, they have questions, they have opinions, they have ways of applying. Often, though, after we walk out of here, we forget. Something like we forget 90% of what we heard within 48 hours. One of the most depressing statistics for a preacher. What the sermon-based small groups do is they give you a guide for discussion, a guide where you have to take what you heard and think about it, process, synthesize some ideas, write them down. So what you're doing is you're taking God's Word, God's message from Sunday morning, and you're putting it into your life, into your week, into discussion, into application. So the next 5 years of the life of the church were that, and over 50% of our adult Sunday morning attendance is involved in those sermon-based small groups, growing in Christ that way. And then 2 years ago, we put an emphasis on service initiatives as a way to learn how to give through the Spirit. So if we look at the logo up here, we see giving through the Spirit is at the top here. So we're taking we're taking people who are disconnected from church, disconnected from God, and helping them to understand that they're grafted by God as they put their faith in Jesus Christ, and then they grow in Christ as they gather around God's word and around God's people. And then they're giving through the Spirit. As we grow, we start to give. And you can see that's represented by these flowers. And if you think about what does a plant do as it is flowering, the flowers bring beauty to the world. The flowers bring a fruitfulness that's nourishing. And they bring seeds that reproduce. That's what we want to be as disciples of Jesus. We want to be people who do more than just gather for strength. We want to scatter for light. We want to do more than just grow here. We want to go there. We want to be someone who brings the light of Christ to the world, who brings beauty to the world. We want to be people who bring nourishment to our community, who are making things better. And we want to be scattering seeds that multiply the kingdom of God. What do I mean by the kingdom of God? I mean the problems that we see in our own community. If you really take a close look at them and boil them down, what you find out is they come down to the fact that we have turned away from God's plan. We have been operating under the idea of my will be done rather than thy will be done. And it gets us into all kinds of trouble. Thousands of people acting selfishly is bound to become a problem. God's kingdom means more than a realm. It means his authority. It means bringing people to the point where they recognize it isn't about my will. It's about his will. It's about the king's will being done. And there are ways that I need to yield myself to him. He needs to be the Lord of my life. I'm going to be held accountable. What I do makes a difference. He has a plan. Am I following that plan? And as people rebel against God, as they follow their own plan, they end up in dark places, doing dark things. We are to be a light. Broken and messed up as we are, that is God's plan. We are to see God's will being done in our hearts, in our households, in our neighborhoods, as it is in heaven. To see more heaven on earth. Until he comes again. Giving through the Spirit. Now, if we can get a little bit of light up in the house here, there's a self-assessment. This isn't meant to be comprehensive or anything. It's just a way for you to kind of gauge in the mission of the church, making more and better disciples, people who have yielded themselves to God, people who are walking in the path of Christ. How am I doing? Here are some characteristics. You can see there's a section there, grafted by God. If you're new to Christ, these might be true of you. Growing in Christ, these might be true of you. Giving through the Spirit. You might check off boxes in all three of these areas. And what I want you to consider is, where are most of the boxes? If you were to assess yourself and your own spiritual journey, your own walk, where are you on your walk, and what would be the next step? That's the journey we're on. So, we're 2 years into this idea of giving through the Spirit, and you can see that some of the characteristics. If I am giving through the Spirit, I'm looking forward to time spent with God daily. I'm discovering, understanding, and using my spiritual gifts to serve the church. Now, I'm not talking about the church, the institution. Yeah, there are things that need to get done. The church, though, is the people who are gathered together here. When someone sets up this stage or when someone hauls the trailer, they're doing it because someone's going to come in here and hear the message that God loves them. Someone's going to come in here, and instead of trying to figure out what do I get for myself, they're going to turn their hearts towards God and say, how can I worship God who is worthy? And that's worth hauling a trailer or setting up a stage. If I'm giving through the Spirit, I'm living with eternity in mind. It's not about just what's happening today. I'm investing a significant percentage of my finances in kingdom work. I am intentionally building bridges to people who are far from church or far from God. And I'm no longer judging success by worldly standards, but by how closely I follow God's will. And I'm regularly introducing people to Christ. Over the last 2 years, what we've done to help people give through the Spirit is we've emphasized service initiatives like Backyard Missions as a way to build bridges in the community, to express God's love, to bring beauty, to bring nourishment in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's been absolutely awesome. And it's been more than a week in the summer. It has continued as we continue to have relationships with some people who are in this room today who were served in Backyard Missions, some people who were served last year, then came back and served other people the following year. We're continuing to build those relationships. We're continuing to see the world around us, the community around us, beautified. We're praying for people. We saw Revive Wisconsin kick off last year, where we're having intentional conversations with people, regularly introducing people to Christ. It continues every month. We provide an opportunity, Revive Wisconsin, to start conversations, to meet people, and to pray for them and to introduce them to Christ if they're open to it. We've seen people's generosity and special offerings to support Backyard Missions, to support missionaries to Japan. We've sent 3 different people over the last 2 summers. Pastor Casey, our church planter in Marshfield, Kurt Olson, who just finished up training 1,400 disciple makers in Nigeria this week. 1,400. It's awesome. I don't know if I did. I don't remember if I shared this, but a few weeks ago before he left, he came here and I said he needs help. And did I tell you? I know I put it in the New Day Minute, but did I mention it on Sunday morning that he walked out of here with I think it was $1,680 in his pocket? He needed $1,800. Yeah, that was awesome. That's amazing. That's generosity. That's people going, I don't benefit from this at all. However, I believe God is going to do amazing things as this man goes. So I'm going to invest in that. I'm going to invest in kingdom work. Now, and there were people who gave online as well, so he had enough. He texted me later that day and said, I'm going to Nigeria. So that was awesome. So I'm looking forward to hearing his report from how that went. Over the last few years, we've been able to build up our financial reserves, which has put us in a much better position to be ready when God says, go. We train dozens of people in New Day 201 in techniques for taking in and enjoying God's word on a daily basis. In the beginning of the year, we had people participating in a time of prayer and fasting. We're doing some of this giving through the Spirit. We can always grow, though. We can always continue to do more. So where do we still need to grow? Maybe a more appropriate question is, where do you still need to grow? Because as each of us grows individually, we're going to grow together. And some of these areas that I mentioned, we're just getting started. Generosity, prayer, scripture, outreach. They're not a one-and-done accomplishment. Last month, I decided, like I do, you know, maybe a couple times every year, it's time to get fit. Everybody else have those, like, revolutionary thoughts? It's time to get fit. So I took some dumbbells, and I just went to town. I started, and then I made it an everyday thing. I'm doing push-ups, and I'm doing curls, and I'm doing all this stuff. And within a couple of days, I had this knot in my back. And it traveled to my neck, and like, oh, all this stuff started happening. I was like, I can't do it anymore. I feel like some of you are judging me. Yeah, because I know you know what I should be doing. And if I would just talk to you, you'd tell me. But I get this idea in my head. I'm gonna, and then I hurt myself. It would be much healthier if I do a little bit every day instead of having these bursts where I just end up hurting myself. Spiritual disciplines are like that. You might have a day where you go, I'm digging into God's word today and I'm praying. And if you spent 70 minutes digging into God's word and praying one day, maybe that's not going to be as healthy for you and help you grow as much as spending 10 minutes for 7 days in a row. Sometimes I get that burst and I 70 minutes and of scripture and prayer, and then the next day I think, yeah, but I don't have time for that. Well, yeah, because I'm doing it in 70-minute chunks. But I can do 10 minutes. I can do 15 minutes. If I can just be in God's word consistently, He will work in my life over time rather than these bursts of excitement. We need to be people who are disciplined. That's what disciple means, someone who is disciplined, who is following every day. We need to continually see more people taking steps of faith, more testimonies of God at work. Another fitness illustration: if one person in your friend group starts like working out and getting fit and they're losing weight, they're the weirdo in your friend group. Whoa, good for you. If half your friends start doing that, then you start going, well, why am I not? I could do that. When we have half the people in the church doing something, it becomes the culture of what we do, of who we are. That's why it was important for us to put an emphasis on small groups, to say, that's what we do, that's who we are. And now that's normal. People who are new to the church are going, I want to get in one of these small groups. I don't want to be left behind. Our spiritual disciplines, our giving through the Spirit, needs to look like that. We need to pass that threshold in terms of number of people who are engaging in God's word and following His lead deeply and daily. So service initiatives, they give us a taste of God's goodness, especially a couple strong bursts a couple of times a year. And by His power, by God's power, we will experience Him at work in and through us every day. It needs to become an everyday mindset. So we need to keep pressing into spiritual disciplines. We need to keep providing service initiatives like Backyard Missions and Revive Wisconsin and the service projects that our small groups do. We need to learn about how God's power is uniquely expressed through each of us. So we're going to start next week learning about spiritual gifts, about passions, about how God has designed the experiences we've had in our lives as a plan for us. And we need to peel away the things in our life that keep that power, His power, hidden from the world. We need a church that, as we look to the future and as we talk about a building, we need a church that is not focused on our seating capacity, but is focused on our sending capacity. This isn't about us becoming more comfortable or getting what we want. We are on a mission. How is a building going to serve the mission? How is it going to fulfill God's vision for this community? God has uniquely positioned New Day to be a multiplying church that makes disciples who make disciples and plants churches that plant churches locally, nearby, and around the world. You know, I get this question all the time. Where is your church? Do you guys get that question? What church are you a part of? New Day? Where is that? Where is your church? Our church is in homes and businesses all around the community. We will go into every nook and cranny that God leads us into, to the ends of the earth. Our church is wherever we go, wherever He sends us. That's where our church is. I know that doesn't help people. Like, is that on Ross Avenue? I don't. That's the truth, though, about the church. So I fully believe God has a plan. He has a vision for our future. The Apostle Paul tells us that we're grafted into the line of Abraham when we believe in Christ. Abraham was a guy who God made a promise to. So let's take a look at God's first recorded interaction with Abraham before He told him He was going to change his name. He called him Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you." Hopefully you're getting that image of this flower, this blessing to the world. This is God's plan, that you're going to be a blessing to all the families in the world. I feel like we're packing up and moving like Abram did in faith. Let me talk practically about some of the things that it means for us to move out of our office and into something that God has not yet clearly shown us, like Abram being led out of his family's home. We'll most likely do some business out of a local church. We've had two churches who have offered us some space for as long as we need it, which is awesome. I love seeing God's church work together. We'll most likely store a few pieces of furniture and some boxes in the basement of Heidi's studio in Mosinee. Heidi, who you see each morning, who runs our family ministries. We'll most likely have a mailing address at the UPS store in Rib Mountain. You get this idea that we're really being scattered. We're all over. We'll most likely practice our music in the Bussy's basement in Kronenwetter, although we have had a church who's offered for us to use their stage as well. So we'll see how that all shakes down. We're still looking for a nearby indoor parking space for our trailer. We have electronics that need to not go into deep freeze during the week. So as the weather gets colder, we've got to have a large parking space that's heated to put our trailer in. If you have one that's nearby, let me know. Thank you. And I keep saying most likely because I believe in a God who works in ways that are different from what I expect. He surprises us all the time. Things didn't always go the way Abram expected. He had faith to keep moving forward even when plans changed, because plans do change. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, we just fast forward a little bit in Abram's story. At that time, after he goes to the land that God showed him, he follows God's plan. And then a severe famine struck the land of Canaan, forcing Abram to go down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. That isn't what Abram expected. Even when we prayerfully follow God's plan, He often takes us on unexpected turns. What Abram didn't do is go back to what was comfortable. He pressed forward, still trusting God. That's how I feel as we move out of our office. I don't have all the answers about what we're going to do. Even if I did, security and control, they're just illusions anyway. The best we can do is get a sense of God's plan and hold tightly to Him. So essentially what we're doing is we're looking for 4 acres, about 4 acres, where we can build or renovate a building into an office and ministry center while still continuing Sunday services at the middle school. The 4 acres, though, would allow us at some point in the future to expand. I have to realize that God may lead and provide according to a different plan than that. Abram didn't always trust God's provision and protection, though. He took his eyes off God's ideal sometimes. Abram said to his wife in Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 12, "When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife. Let's kill him. Then we can have her. So please tell them you're my sister. Then they will spare my life and treat me well because of their interest in you.'" Guys, there are some things you just don't do. Don't give your wife away. And yet, Abram was so afraid that that's what he did. Out of fear, he compromised. He didn't trust God to protect him in that situation. In big and small ways, we're all susceptible to fear. One expert I spoke to told me that whatever we decide to do regarding a building is going to determine the trajectory of our church for the next 20 years. You think I don't want to screw this up? You think maybe I'm a little bit nervous? Yeah. I'm afraid of taking a flexible, nimble church and literally putting it in a box. I don't want to do that. I'm afraid of seeing the price tag that goes along with God's plan. I'm afraid of starting spiritual conversations with people in the community still, and yet, what good is a church if we continue giving into that fear? I'm afraid of conflict. I'm afraid of disappointing people. I got all kinds of fears. Thank God that He doesn't wait for us to stop being afraid. Jesus had an encounter with His disciples, and they often were afraid. He asked them at one point, Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 15, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." There is a lot here, and I'm not going to get into all of it. What I want to point out, though, is Jesus says, "My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from human beings." I believe that God has a plan for us and that He will reveal that plan as we walk with Him daily. He will reveal His plan. We need to be listening. I, as a leader, need to be listening. Our church board has to be listening. We are all God's workmanship. Together, we all need to be listening for what God reveals about the good works He planned for us. Second, Jesus will build His church. That's what He said. "I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it." He will build His church. We have to decide if we're working on building our church or if we're trusting Jesus to build His church. As we trust Him, we will see Him extinguishing the hell we see glimpses of on earth, as He gives us glimpses of the kingdom, of His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. I took a walk on Friday, and I just want to give you something specific. I don't know if this is anything. I don't know. I'm holding on to it loosely. But if you want to write something down to pray about, 4707 Camp Phillips Road. I've looked at a lot of properties. We have a realtor. We have a builder. I've talked with some people in the village. 4707 Camp Phillips Road is something that has caught my attention. It's a piece of property across the street from Idea Charter School in Odyssey, and it's a huge, ugly warehouse. The realtor doesn't even mention there's a building there because it's that bad. They just say, if you want to build something, this is a good place to do it. They don't even mention there's a massive building there. The price tag on it is $995,000. And we can't afford that. God can do whatever he wants. So let's pray. And I don't know if this is what he would have, but sometimes we need to have a picture in our minds. We need to have something that we're praying about specifically. So if you could be praying about the future of this church and pray that God would give us the right place and pray about this place, this particular place, and pray that if it's God's will, if it would be glorifying to him, that a church would be there across the street from that school, down the road from the elementary school, easy access for people to get to it. Maybe there's a church there. Maybe there's more than that in that spot. Maybe what because it's 11 acres. I said four. That's 11. What's going to happen on 11 acres? I don't know. Maybe. I got to be careful because just don't hold me to any of this. But maybe there's a coffee shop that when parents are taking their kids to school, and maybe there's a daycare so that parents of young children or teachers who work in those schools, I don't know. Sometimes I just throw stuff out there. This is why I feel nervous, because I'm so full of ideas. I really, really censor myself on Sunday mornings as far as what I tell you in terms of ideas that I've had. But I'm letting some of it leak out right now because I want you to be thinking, what is God's vision for the future? I don't know. We need to be praying about it, and he will make it clear. He will do more than we could ask or imagine. He is capable. Are we faithful? Are we faithful? I want to conclude with the first verse of Psalm 27. We just came out of the Psalms of Summer, and we're transitioning into a new series about God's power revealed in broken people. Psalm 27:1 says, The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? Is this building our fortress? No. Was the office on Willow Street our fortress? No. Will the next building be our fortress, our salvation? No, absolutely not. The Lord is our fortress. He has a plan. He has brought us this far. Whatever tomorrow looks like, let's recommit ourselves to following him. Amen? Amen. God, you are our fortress. You are our deliverer. You are our salvation. We are trusting you. We are moving out into obscurity. We are grateful for the ways in which you have blessed us. There are people, there are resources. We have a roof over our heads, but more than that, God, we have seen glimpses of your kingdom. We have seen glimpses of heaven invading earth. We are yours, Lord. And to the extent that we understand how to be ready, we are ready to charge the gates of hell with a squirt gun, if that's what you call us to do. God, be alive in us. Let us experience your power as we give through your Spirit, not through our own strength. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.